This year marks the 20th anniversary of a remarkable 12 months in music.
But don't lose your grip. Nine trips ain't the years there for me to put up.
So my man, watch your back. 93 means skills are a must. So never let
1993 exoticness.
Over the span of 1993, Queen Latifah, De La Soul, Salt-N-Pepa, Snoop Dogg, A Tribe Called Quest, the Wu-Tang Clan, and dozens of other rappers released albums that helped to change the sound of America. And one of those albums was not just a collection of songs. It was a business concept as well. NPR's Franny Kelly reports that the Wu-Tang Clan's debut was the opening shot in an audacious plan to elevate hip-hop made outside of the mainstream.
Back in the early 90s, Robert Fitzgerald Diggs looked around and saw the music industry betting on rap light. Think Will Smith.
So to you other kids all across the land, there's no need to argue, parents just don't understand.
Songs like Parents Just Don't Understand and Bust a Move just weren't for him or his friends.
We were street kids, you know, guys that was more like felons or high school dropouts. And I say that's a positive thing, I'm just saying this is the difference of our character. We were like the guys in the projects, you know what I mean?
He saw an opportunity.
I knew that the industry needed real hip-hop. It's like right now, if you keep eating McDonald's, you're going to get sick. You need a real home-cooked meal. And I knew that that would be healthier. And that's what Wu-Tang was. It was a home-cooked meal of hip-hop, of the real people.
Diggs also saw that he was going to have to prove to the industry that the style of hip-hop he wanted to make would sell.
A man with a dream with plans to make cream would fail. I went to jail at the age.
Diggs knew the best rappers on Staten Island. They came to his house to watch kung fu movies and battle rap and study the teachings of the 5% Nation, an offshoot of the Nation of Islam. Two were his cousins, one was his roommate, a couple were technically his rivals. So he had to do some convincing, but he recorded a verse by each of them, added one of his own, and pressed up an 8-verse, grimy-sounding, no-chorus, vinyl-only single. Diggs set up a company called Wu-Tang Productions, named after the bad guys in a movie, changed his name to the RZA, an acronym that refers to his theological studies, asked his roommate's DJ to make a logo, and he called a meeting.
I used the bus as an analogy. I said, I want all of y'all to get on this bus, and I'm the driver, and nobody can ask me where we're going. I'm taking us to number one. Give me 5 years, and I promise that I'll get us there.
Us was the RZA, the GZA, Old Dirty Bastard, Inspected Deck, U God, Ghostface Killah, Method Man, Raekwon, and Master Killah. They all signed on to the plan, and in the winter of 1992, some of them snuck into one of the few radio stations in New York City that was playing hip-hop, Columbia University's WKCR, and tried to convince DJ Stretch Armstrong and host Bobbito Garcia to play it.
They weren't being nice. Definitely like, yo, man, play this record. It's dope. Put that on right now, son. I listened to it. I previewed it about 15, 20 minutes later, and I was like, oh, wow, this record's incredible. So I played it.
Yo, what's up, man?
Coolin', man.
I gave the record a Stretch.
You know what I want to hear, right?
What you want to hear?
I want to hear that Wu-Tang joint.
Wu-Tang again?
Yeah, again and again.
Stretch could tell you what happened from there.
I played it again.
And again.
And again.
And again.
And again. And again.
Smoke on the mic like smoking Joe Frazier, the Hellraiser. Raising hell with the flavor. Terrorize the jam like troops in Pakistan. Swinging through your town like your neighborhood Spider-Man.
Listeners called in. Club DJs, promotions people, and music writers all thought it was the hottest thing out.
The way I make the crowd go wild. Sit back, relax, won't smile.
One of the first record execs to come sniffing around was Steve Rifkin, who had a new label called Loud. The RZA got him to sign an unprecedented deal. For only $60,000, Rifkin got the Clan as a whole. But the RZA also convinced him to allow each individual in the group to become, in essence, a free agent. They could sign a solo deal with any other company and take the Wu-Tang name with them.
When Def Jam wanted to sign Method Man, they wanted to sign Method Man and Old Dirty. But if I had Old Dirty and Method Man on Def Jam, that's two key pieces going in the same direction, whereas there's other labels that needed to be infiltrated.
The goal was to spread the sound as widely as possible. And just a few years later, members of the Wu-Tang Clan were recording for 5 of the 6 major labels, back when there were 6 major labels. But that's not all. Getting to number one depended on each solo album growing the Klan's fan base.
I recall telling Jizza, but you'll get the college crowd.
Because he's the intellectual.
Sort of like a miracle on 34th Street. In the square of Harold, I gang Ella. The quarter fits like Gerald, Dean Ferraro.
Raekwon and Ghost, all the gangsters.
Their metaphors read like a police blotter.
Hazardous, cause I wrecked this dangerous. I blow spots like Waco, Texas. I watch my back like I'm locked down. Hardcore, hit and sound. Watch me act broke.
Meth will get the women and children.
Method Man is playful.
Myself, I was looking more like that I bring in rock and roll.
In your face.
Slam, damn, scream like Tarzan. I'll be tossing and forcing, my style is awesome. I'm causing more family food than Richard Dawson.
The album was called Enter the Wu-Tang, 36 Chambers, and it wasn't obvious that it would work. Everything the band had released so far was raw. Members contributed ideas and even some of their own money, but nobody knew how the RZA was going to pull it all together. He rented time in a Manhattan studio with the then-new editing technology Pro Tools and packed movie clips and old interviews into the music.
It took me a whole week or two to keep doing it, and the rest of the band didn't know it. They didn't hear it until it was done.
A game of chess is like a sword fight. You must think first, right? Before you move.
5 years after the group signed on to An Idea, its follow-up, Wu-Tang Forever, debuted at number one. I asked the RZA if he'd actually had a 20-year plan.
This may sound unbelievable to you, but I told the crew in the basement meeting that for my calculations, for what I'm feeling, that this will last 20 years. I said, if we're smart, we could plunge at that moment, or we could gracefully make a safe landing to 20 years.
Safe is an understatement. The improbable success of the Wu-Tang Clan, their platinum plaques and world tours, alone and together, kicked open the door for other rap groups that wanted to make home-cooked music for the real people. Franny Kelly, NPR News.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Green.
Somebody drive her back up home, put strength to the bone, dan, 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 into the Wu-Tang zone.